Okay, so as always, it's a blessing to share with you. God gave me a word this morning, and I usually get up and jot it down. And then I start doing this and doing that, packing, because I'm leaving tomorrow to head back to Florida. And then when it came time for me to come set up, I said, okay, wait a minute. What was that that you told me? It's like, should have wrote it down. I was like, I know, but you could tell me again. And he hasn't, but he gave me something. He gave me a scripture, and he said, just take this scripture and use this word and minister to the people, and the point will still be the same as you minister. So I looked at the scripture and I said, yeah, but that's not what you told me. It was very, very specific. And so this is one of those messages where I'm going to take the word that he gave me, and I'm going to trust that he'll still get his point across, even though I was hard-headed and didn't write down what he told me when he told me it. Amen for God's mercy and grace. So, watch this. If you go to 1 John chapter 4 with me, we're going to share some things. If you go to 1 John chapter 4, he's talking to and teaching the people with steps on their spiritual walk. He's talking to a people that already know him and already made a commitment to him and already have a relationship with him. But he's giving them tips now on how to walk visually. And here's what John is saying to the people. Starting at verse 1, my dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God, because many of false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, he's telling us that as we're going forward and we're listening either to people or to voices or to angels or whatever we think we're hearing of God, that there is a way to judge and balance the difference. And he said, every first step, he said, that they would acknowledge that Christ has come in the flesh. And people will say, well, no, he believes in Jesus Christ. That's not the same thing. Believing in Jesus Christ and believing that Christ has come in the flesh is two different things. And I want to make sure we're very clear about that. If somebody says to me, I believe in Jesus Christ, I say, what Christ? Because as we read on, he said, men for many false prophets, many false Christs, as in another place, have come into the earth. So naming the name, but not acknowledging his title, it's two different things. You're with me so far? I believe in Jesus Christ. What do you believe? Well, he's a great man. He's a phenomenal prophet. He came in the world, he led the way, and he opened the door so that Mohammed could come and teach us the way. You gotta understand, I'm not making a mockery of people. I did the Muslim thing for a while before I was a Christian. I studied with the Buddhists for a season. I sat in the synagogue and talked to rabbis. I went through a whole process before I got saved, challenging anything because I didn't believe anything about God. And when I did finally have an experience with God, which I won't go into all that with you, but when he began to appear to me and speak to me, then I went for a season, I would say maybe a couple of years, on a quest to make sure I was following the right God and the right spirit. So I didn't just get saved because somebody took me to church and I was down and out and they led me down the aisle crying. I accepted Jesus. No, I went through a whole litmus test of I don't know what's true and what's not. I went from being a total atheist to, okay, God, now I know you're real, but what's the path to following you? So I don't make fun or mockery of other people and their positions, but I tell people all the time, I know who saved me. Do what you want. So he said, any spirit that will not acknowledge that Christ or Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, or Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, has come in the flesh. Now, to those who are modern day Christians, they think the name Jesus Christ. But under the Old Testament, they knew and understood, watch closely what I'm about to say here, that the coming of Yeshua, the Messiah, is real. Let me help you understand that. The Jews believe, the Jews, the real serious Jews to this day, that Yeshua Mashiach is to come. It will go against their whole Pentateuch. It will go against their whole Torah to believe otherwise. They believe that there's a Messiah to come. Are you listening to me? They believe that. They don't want to acknowledge Yeshua, Jesus, as Messiah, but they believe it. So he's saying, you try the spirit, any spirit, not that, oh, I believe Jesus Christ. No, no, no. That God with us, and he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. That God with us is not real. That's not the right spirit. This is very important. Oh, he believes in Jesus. What do you mean he believes in Jesus? Oh, he was raised in such a Catholic church. He was raised in the Pentecostal church. Okay, does he believe that God came in the flesh? Yeshua Mashiach, Son of God. Even they say, I don't believe it's God. Okay, do you believe that he came to die for your sins? When you start to ask those kind of questions, truth starts to get revealed real quick. Jehovah's Witnesses believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe he died for your sins? No. You follow what I'm saying? The whole thing has to match up. Somebody come to me and say, I know Kwame. You do. Yeah, I know him very well. What, he's got dreadlocks. Go ahead and tell me more. And he's light-skinned, and he lives in Queens. No, you know somebody else. See, you were almost there. You had me with the dreadlocks, and you even matched some of his traits in conversation. But then when I started telling you to give me a little more detail about him, like, does he have kids? Like, you know, oh, so you don't know who I'm talking about. You're talking about a facsimile. You've seen a picture, and maybe you think you know a person by a picture, but you don't know a person by a picture. You know a person by a relationship. Even saying I've met somebody somewhere and talked to them for a little while, watch this, don't mean you know them. It means you met them, but it doesn't mean you know them. There are people who have had the opportunity to meet Christ by going to church, and they've learned through theology and teaching this Christ, but then they never met him. Well, what do you mean by that? They said they confessed him and everything. Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into my kingdom. Now, I just want to tell you something, and this is a very, very compelling argument. See, everybody that doesn't know the Lord, he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord. So this are people, watch this, that in their opinion and estimation are calling him Lord. I guess in their mind, this one has always made me nervous, still does from time to time. They thought they were saved. They're coming saying, Lord, Lord. It comes down to who? And it comes down to, he said, I would say to them, go away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You may have learned about me. You may have studied my book. You know, you can't go get the book Harvest Time, read it from cover to cover, and then come and say, I know you. I want to live in your house. I don't know you. You know about me, but you don't know me. Are you listening close to what I'm saying? So he's talking about a people. I mean, there's people who can read stuff or read a book or watch my messages and decide they know me more than I know myself. They might remember stuff about me that I don't even remember. But I don't know you. And so if you're not acknowledging that Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua Mashiach, has come in the flesh as promised. This is the one spoken of. They come to die for the sins, to take away the sins of the world. If you are saying you know Jesus Christ, fine. Some person could name their child that. And back in that day, from my understanding, I remember I studied a long, long time ago, and they were saying during that time, because the word was Yeshua was coming, that a lot of mothers were naming their sons Yeshua at that time because they wanted to get follows on Instagram or whatever the case may be, right? They were trying to get likes. They were naming their kids that because they knew that was a powerful name. And they said during that period, that was a very popular name. I wasn't there. I don't know. But I studied this a long time ago. So we're not just saying anyone who says the name Jesus Christ, but believes that he has literally come from the spirit to the flesh to accomplish what the word promised he came to accomplish. I took a long time on that one verse, but oh my God, it's so important. When somebody comes to you and say, I believe in Jesus. Tell me more about that. What do you believe? I go to church. I've been to church my whole life. That's all fine. I'm not trying to pick on people, but I'm going to bring up his name. Carlton Pearson. Now, you may not remember him. I'm sure Minister Dietra does. Carlton Pearson was as big as T.D. Jakes. He was huge. He was the Azusa Street. He was revivals. He was the preacher of preachers. He was that dude. And then later on in his career, he said, no, you're already saved. You don't need to accept Jesus. He changed his whole doctrine. They made a movie about it. It was a perverted movie because they put a lot of lies in it every given Sunday and any given something like that. And he walked away from the salvation through Jesus Christ and started telling people that you didn't have to. This man was very big in the ministry. He was the dude on TBN every time you turned it on. And he literally turned his back and walked away from all of it. Said, no, I don't believe that anymore. So I'm saying to you, when people say to me, I believe in Jesus Christ, I say, tell me about this Jesus. Describe him to me. I want to make sure he looks like the one that the Bible describes. And the only thing is, the only real deciding factor is this. But what if they lie to you and tell you that they believe that and they really don't? Here's my experience. Satan will not acknowledge that Christ came as God in the flesh, died for your sin, rose on the third day, and defeated him. I don't care what religion it is, they will veer off when you push in that direction. He's a great prophet. He's a great man. They'll get as close to the salvation story as they can. But when you start to say, so we're talking about the Jesus who died for my sins. We're talking about the Jesus who defeated hell, death, and the grave and rose on the third day and sits at the right hand of the Father. We're talking about God incarnate, God in the flesh, me and my Father are one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right away, there was, okay, stop. They won't go there. Now, if I don't teach anything else today, I just gave you some valuable points. Because not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, and the people who come to me all the time, oh, yeah, he's a good businessman. He wants to meet you. She wants to meet you. And they're Christians. Okay? And they're Christians. What does that mean? I don't do business with people based on that. That don't get you a calling card in my life. Because I've seen Christians with no integrity, and I've seen people that don't yet know the Lord but have more integrity than most of these so-called Christians, and I would rather do business with them, and they're closer to being saved than these so-called Christians will ever be. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just telling you how I do business and how I work with people. I've seen such a lack of integrity in the body of Christ because it's not been taught, and it's not been pushed, and so I've seen things that makes me challenge even my own stand with God. Please help me to make sure I don't cross these lines, because they look like you can cross them if you're not careful. Let's get back to the scriptures. I spent a lot of time on that verse. That's not even a verse. That wasn't even the key verse of the scripture for me, but I guess it was today. Did it bless you? Amen. Because many false prophets are going into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus Christ is from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world. This point number two. Well, the Antichrist is going to come one day, and he's going to da-da-da-da, and he's going to, when the Antichrist comes, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And Jesus is, the word right here is saying through the prophet John, Jesus, the spirit of Antichrist is already here. It's already in the world. The physical form of Antichrist hasn't stand up and proclaimed himself and stepped up yet, because the body of Christ is still in the earth. But the spirit of Antichrist already exists and is already in the earth. I need you to be mindful of that. You know, this big spooky movies and TV shows, they show even some Christian movies that he's not here yet until such and such a time. No, the spirit of Antichrist is already here. And this is the spirit that absolutely will find ways through Christian church and everything else to put everything in it outside of the word of God. They will try to come with all kinds of different doctrines and religions that excludes Jesus Christ as Savior. And every single time they do it, they'll call him Savior, but they won't call him Lord. And these things are important that we differentiate. Because you can say, oh, Jesus is my Savior. So that means all your decisions you make, you trust them to him, and he is the final. No, you, I don't know. God helps those who help themselves. You got to do the things, you know. God know a man got to do what a man got to do. You know, you got, and then right away they start immediately explaining to you that they lord their life. Jesus is just their get out of jail free card. He's not Lord. Am I going too deep in today? This is very important because we're in these final days where we're walking around and we're expecting to step into the next realm God has called us to. And God showed me something that I normally don't preach or share, but he spoke this to me this morning. He said, I need you to understand that when you begin to step forward into the next level, what I'm calling you to, and you begin to claim the greatness that I've called you to, yesterday tries to hold on to you. It doesn't let go. The ceiling tries to push you back down. The enemy begins to try to box you in to live and survive and understand how to flow the way you've been flowing. Anything that requires you to give up and die to self is challenged. Every area that you try to die to self is challenged. Self steps up and said, oh, H no, I'm not dying. I've been running this long and I'm not willing to give up my space. That's what self does with Satan's help. And the reason I made it clear to say self, because we want to blame the devil for everything. But Jesus said the wicked one comes and he finds nothing in me. So when the devil comes and tries to tempt me or to flirt with me, to abandon being led by his lordship and surrender to my own lordship, which is really Satan's lordship, that is a real plight that believers go through. And they don't want to pay attention to that. It's easier to put the car back in park than to drive through the storm. Am I speaking to you? You have to make the decision. I have to make the decision. I believe this is the calling. I believe it's the direction. And I surrender to his lordship. And anything that fights against the spirit and the flesh, they are enmity with each other. They fight with the Holy Spirit. Your flesh fights to hold on to what it knows and where it is. It fights to do it. Can somebody bear witness with what I'm talking about right now? And it don't have to be some big, major, demonic struggle. You understand what I'm saying? Where demons are coming through the window. No, it's just that flesh saying, I want to stay safe in the place that I feel comfortable. And God said, but to call you up higher, you have to break through the boundaries that have been set. Now we're back on the message from this morning. I came when you called, but the prince of Persia withstood me. Remember that story?
said, I came to answer you. I was sent out to answer your prayer. The angel said, the moment you pray, but the demons of that region fought against me. I had to go back and get more angels to come and break through for you. So when you decide to step beyond where you are to what God has called you to, there are principalities that stand against you. These are demons that are over regions. They stand in opposition of your greatness. How many of you have, God, I'm preaching up a storm here. How many have you stepped out to do great things that you believe God's called you to and look like everything was going so smooth until you decided to take this step? Look like everything was seemed to be going all right, and now all of a sudden look like everything that can push against you is pushing against you. It could be family, it could be friends, it could be job, it could be all of a sudden. Now, all these kind of things, you on your way to be able to work up enough hours now so I can leave and go work for myself. And then they come say, oh, we're going to have to cut your hours because, now, but anything that can be done to keep you from taking that step and making that move, it's big. It's big. I've looked at and walked across at least four or five major properties to go in this venture that God has started me in. And every time the deal is in front of me and I'm ready to do the deal, all these fears bombard me. Bombard me. Yeah, but what if you buy it and then you don't get the people to rent it? And what if you do it and then you can't get the hospitals involved? And what if and this? And what if that? And it's like, whew, that's a huge undertaking. We're talking a $2 million situation here. Yeah, if that don't work, well, guess what? If you don't do it, it ain't going to work. So you might as well try it and find out if it don't work. If you know you've heard from the Lord and the Lord is leading you. Somebody walk with me a little bit here. You don't win staying home and park. You win getting out on the road and driving. And yeah, you may lose, but you may win. But if you stay at home, you definitely lose. If you don't do it, you definitely lose. So I went and saw a place yesterday, six apartments in it, the opportunity to put a seventh one. Decent price. God said, you got the down payment, let's go. And right away as I drove up, I saw it and I loved it. As I drove up, all of this oppression came. Yeah, but you know, and if you put a down payment on that, that's going to be, that's like 160 grand you got to put down. And then if it don't go through, and then what if the city ordinances don't allow you to add the addition? All of these things start to come to attack you. But you have to stop and say, God, if you're Lord, I let you die. Because I would have nothing that I have if I hadn't obeyed you. Man, I didn't plan to stay on these two verses this long, but I do want to tell you this. This is what he told me this morning, so this is where I am. You can't push through to the next level unless you decide to go through without stopping. And that comes with him being Lord, meaning you lead. You lead, I go. Doesn't make sense. I don't understand it. I can't make the math compute. All this stuff doesn't matter if you're following him. If you're following you, if you're Lord, and you're just expecting him to be Savior after you decide, then you make the choices that keep you where you are. Who needed to hear this today? This is important. So, many spirits will come in the name of Christ, but here's how you find out. If they don't acknowledge him as Lord, if that Christian don't acknowledge him as Lord, oh no, I call him Lord and said, you know, that's a title. Your lifestyle shows me if he's Lord. The decisions you make show me if he's Lord. Tell the story, then I'm going to move on. Working with this person, brother in Christ, and I'm not questioning his Christianity. But somebody did something while we were together that ticked him off. And the words that started flying out of his mouth. Oh my God. I don't even know if I knew how to curse like that when I was in the world. Like he was cursing words that I didn't even know. Some curse words I didn't know existed. And I said, brother, let no filthy pollution language come out of your mouth. I mean, I understand that you got upset and maybe one, but you just let it rip. And he said, well, the Lord understands that sometime, you know, you just got to do what you got to do. And when I hear believers say stuff like that, I go, what God are you serving? Or you ain't, or you may have accepted him as Savior, but he ain't your Lord yet. Because you can't say God knows a man got to do what a man got to do. No. I'm doing what God say. And if I stumble and if I fall and if you stumble and if you fall and if you make a mistake and if you go down the wrong path, okay, you went down the wrong path. But you don't say, well, God need to understand this is what I got to do. That, okay, then you just define to me that when it comes to my feelings, my emotions, my whatever, God takes a back seat to that, then he's not Lord. This is pointed conversation. This ain't no kumbaya jump around the room and scream message. I'm not getting a lot of smiles and thumbs up thingies and emojis and stuff today. I'm realizing that, but it's still the truth, and I'm still going to tell you it. So there we have it. Am I wrong? Did I say anything wrong yet? Okay. All right. So if it burns a little, it's okay. Let God put some balm of Gilead on it and he'll get us through it. But if the message is burning, it's because there's some things in you that need to be healed. Alcohol don't burn if it ain't a cut. The thing is this. We have to stop playing Christian. This walk is serious. We believe it for greatness. We believe it for power. We believe it for the move of God. And if you think the enemy is not going to oppose that, he will. He likes you where you are. Because if he can get you complacent, he can get you to go backward. We need to be constantly moving forward. Is it challenging? Yes. Is it emotionally tough? Yes. I see people stuck in places. And I go to God and say, why are they stuck? And God said, because they don't move when I tell them to. They move when they're good and ready. And you don't move when you're good and ready. You move when I tell you to. People of God said, you take those chances. You take those chances. You take those chances with him. I'd rather fail doing what he called me to do than fail not doing anything. Thank you, Minister Dietra. Good to see you. Okay. So, he let you know, Spirit Antichrist is already going out in the world. And that sounds scary, but it's not. Listen close. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. They're out there. He didn't say, listen close. Listen close. Listen close. He didn't say you're going to overcome, which is a church doctrine. Read it with me. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. The demonic strongholds, the forces that try to come against you, the lying spirits, whether it be family, whether it be friend, whether foe, whatever it be, he said, you have already overcome them. That Antichrist is already in the earth. But what I've given you and who you are in me, you have, say, I have already overcome them. I need us to get out of this mindset that we're going to beat him someday. We've beat him already. And until you start speaking that, you don't win. This is how you break through. You don't go to try to win. You go through as a winner. I already won. I am more than a conqueror. I am victorious in Christ Jesus. I am totally provided for he says he's given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. I am already provided for. I am healed. I am well. I am whole. I am at peace. I am clear. You hear what I'm saying? You have already overcome. Walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. Take the first step. If you get pushed back, regroup yourself and take a step again. I don't like to be confronted. I don't like confrontation. Well, I understand that you don't like it. But guess what? The enemy will confront you. Get good with confrontation, because confrontation is easy if you already won when the confrontation begins.
My God. Dear children, you are from God. Say, I'm from God. And I've already overcome them. Why? Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Because who is in you is greater than the Antichrist that's already in the world. It's greater than the opposing spirits that's already in the world. It's greater than the lies of the devil that are already in the world. It's already the thought greater than the thoughts that have been sown into your spirit, into your mind, sometimes from a child, that you can only go so far and you're such a failure and you're never going to be, and whatever's been. All of that is greater than all of that. But who's Lord? Those thoughts, those fears, your comfort, the place you live. I don't know if I can really do that. All of those things that you're saying, God, I call you Lord. But I'm Lord when situations get tough. I call you Lord, but when it's time to do what needs to be done, I lean on my own arm. But greater is he who is in you. That means that he who is in you has to lead you. And that's who Lord needs to be. Not you, but the he that is in you. I need to wrap this message up with this point. He makes the point, greater is he that is in you. That means there is a he in you. There's a you, and then there's a he in you. There's a you, and then there's a he in you. And you get to choose who you follow, you or the he in you. And following the he in you challenges your intellectual comforts and all kind of other things. Because the he in you, watch this, ready? The he in you ain't scared of nothing. The he in you is crazy. The he is in you is just it's done because I say it's done. Let's go. That's the he in you. The he in you doesn't look at your bank account before he tells you to do something. The he in you doesn't consider your color, your weight, your height, your nothing else, your educational status. Any of that, the he in you is crazy. He just says, go do stuff. I'm like, I don't even know how to do that. He's like, just go do it anyway. Because he in you don't have limitations. Because the he in you is greater. I feel like I'm preaching right about now. The he in you has no limits. He has no weaknesses. He has no shortcomings. He has no lack of finances or anything. He in you is crazy. Let me tell you what's great about he in you. He in you says, go move the stone. And they say, he stinketh. It's been 3 days. And he in you say, I don't care. Move the stone anyway. He in you says, go buy a $5-6 million building that I was looking at, and my pockets and everything else said, you ain't even got a down payment for that. He and you said, I don't know nothing about that. There was no wine at the banquet. We just went and filled the bottles with water. He and you don't have earthly limits. He's greater. And he calls you to do things. And the Antichrist and the spirits that say, I believe God, but he's not Lord, will come against you, even other Christians, and try to tell you, well, you got to use some wisdom now. No, you don't. You got to follow he in you. The Antichrist is already here, babies. He's already here to stop.
He's already here to stop you. He's already set a plan to keep you where you are. That's his goal. He didn't even want you to get where you are right now. You pushed through enough to get here. Remember where you were? Remember how you got here? Well, why don't you think he can take you to the rest of the way? He's not limited to your job, your apartment, your community, your neighborhood. He's not. Because greater is he that's in me. I'm speaking it. He's greater. So he has the imagination. He that's in me has an imagination. His imagination is off the chain. It's crazy. Me and Nelly was praying and she said, God told her, we believe for 50 billion. I was like, okay, hold on. Wait a minute now. Ain't many people in the world that have that. That's, I don't even know if I want that. You know, literally, I literally had to stop and go, see, I don't care. I'll tell on myself. I was like, okay, God, you had me like at 1 billion and I was just getting comfortable with believing for that. And now you're going to throw 50? And I had to go back to the throne. And I said, I had to say, God, what is this? She's speaking 50 billion over me. Make her speak that of herself. Like, why you put that? You know, but I had to stop and I had to come to the realization. The next level requires you to break through. And the level of breakthrough is not about fights and hindrance. It's about you just believing what I said, regardless of what circumstances say. I'm not saying anything to you that you don't know. Everybody on this call knows that what I'm saying is true biblically. I'm just giving you practical application. I'm showing you how to take it out your tool belt and use it right now. Greater in you is going to call you to do greater than what you think you can do. But greater is he that is in you. So I want to start functioning out of more he that is in me. I've done a lot out of he who is in me. I've accomplished a lot in my lifetime out of he who is in me. And the deals that I've sitting on the table right now, I know that's because of the greater one who is in me. The moves I've made, you guys know about because you know the details in the past couple of months is crazy. But he's saying greater is he. I'm like, wait, I just want to celebrate this one. No, greater now. You're going to come and drop 50 billion. What am I going to do? Yes, greater one. Amen, greater one. Because the ones who say they believe in Christ, but don't believe that Christ has come in the flesh, does not have Christ living in them. They believe in the story, but they don't have the Savior. They don't have the reborn spirit-filled spirit that the greater one can speak to you crazy, ridiculous things that go beyond your wildest imaginations. And I'm going to wrap it with this. And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that what you ask, think, or dare imagine. How so? Through the greater one who lives in you. Because the greater one imagines deeper than you, sees more than you, understands the outcome better than you, is more powerful than you could ever be in your deepest thought. And so I want to rest this case on here today. Shut yourself up and let the greater one run the game. Because if you do, then you, as the Bible says, in my name will do exploits. When the greater one in you speaks, when the greater one in you control, you will do things that will amaze even you if the greater one is in charge. May the word that you heard change your kind picking life in Jesus' name. Amen.